The Bible reading this morning is taken from the New Testament book of Galatians. It's Galatians chapter 3, which in the Pew Bibles is on page 1170. Galatians chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading at verse 23. It's sort of all about faith in Christ, freedom in Christ, and being one in Christ. Galatians 3, verse 23. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. You are all sons, and I say daughters too, you are all sons and daughters through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Thanks be to God for his word. There's so much in this passage that we could think about this morning. But I just want to repeat one of those verses in there. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I've been asked to speak this morning about William Wilberforce and how his perseverance, inspired by his Christian convictions, helped to abolish, as you all know, the slave trade. You remember that from school, probably. There are other people in high office in government, shall we say, like former Speaker in the House of Commons, George Thomas, you remember him. Mary Whitehouse was a very prominent person and Christian, very outspoken. And they're in the same mould as William Wilberforce. So I'll split my sermon into two parts, and the first might sound a little bit historical. I hope it doesn't come across too much like a history lesson, but there is a moral and there is a Christian side to all of this. Wilberforce was born in Hull 252 years ago with a very privileged background. He went to Cambridge University, in fact, and he became an MP for Hull at the tender age of 21. He was a close friend of the then Prime Minister, William Pitt the Younger, and something that I didn't know about until I looked into his life story was he was known as the Nightingale in the House of Commons, and that was because of his voice. He had a good speaking voice, a very melodious voice, not like mine, northern accent. He could also sing, and was a very good singer. In fact, some people said he sometimes sang all through the night. He so enjoyed it. That's nothing to do with the theme this morning, because I want to talk about being equal in Christ, but just as a bit of background. When he was 25, he found himself moving more towards Christianity. And this led him to ask himself, can one serve God and one's nation in Parliament? He wondered whether the two goals might be mutually exclusive. You know, sometimes people say you can't mix religion and politics. There are certain people at the dinner table, if you started talking about religion or politics, either of those two subjects, it starts ending up in a bit of a disarray and horrible argument, maybe. Can one serve God and one's nation in Parliament? Wilberforce discussed this problem with John Newton. You remember John Newton wrote the Amazing Grace hymn? He was a former slave trade captain himself. And Newton and William Wilberforce met in secret because evangelicals at that time were really frowned upon. And Newton, the former trade slave captain, said to Wilberforce these words. I think we're probably going to get them up on screen. God has raised you up for the good of the church and for the good of the nation. Maintain your friendship with Pitt, the Prime Minister. Continue in Parliament. Who knows that but for such a time as this, God has brought you into public life and has a purpose for you. There was a group of abolitionists at the time who needed a champion in Parliament, and they felt that William Wilberforce was just the man for the job. And William Wilberforce's friend Pitt, the Prime Minister, in a famous conversation under an oak tree on his country estate, also said to Wilberforce, "Take up the case. Fight for the cause." And he did. And he made many speeches. And one speech in particular made a huge difference. Wilberforce, after reciting the facts about the slave trade in this country, went on for 3 hours in Parliament. And he said these words: "Having heard all of this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never again say that you did not know. Having heard all this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." 3 years after that first speech, Parliament resolved very, very gradually to abolish the slave trade. But a great deal of England's wealth depended on it. In present-day terms, money-wise, you might say the equivalent is the money involved in the housing market or in the IT trade. A lot of people didn't want slavery abolished. For Wilberforce, it meant he was attacked personally. He was attacked in the newspapers. He was physically attacked. He was verbally abused and all that sort of thing. He had to walk around the country with an armed bodyguard. Such was the hostility towards him. Gradual abolition of the slave trade looked like it was never going to happen. But it happened outside of Parliament. There were sugar boycotts, there were signed petitions, there was even a march by the people on the Prime Minister's office. Sometimes happens today too, doesn't it? And the bill to abolish slavery had so many hearings in Parliament, but kept again and again being defeated. And at one point, Wilberforce had a nervous breakdown. His physical health collapsed. He was in a poor state. And in February 1807, the abolition of the slave trade was once again debated in Parliament. And Wilberforce realised that many people were gradually coming on board, that the majority of the speeches in Parliament were in favour of the abolition of the slave trade. He began to feel he was going to win at long last. He bowed his head in Parliament and wept. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, the Commons voted. 283 votes to 16 to abolish the slave trade. What a tremendous thing. It had taken 20 years of Wilberforce's life to do this, to get this far. The capturing, the transporting and selling of enslaved Africans was, thank goodness, illegal in Britain, although it continued in the colonies for many more years. And moving on into July 1833, just after Wilberforce heard that the bill abolishing slavery in the colonies had been passed as well, he died aged 74. He was recognised. The importance of his life, his work, what he fought for, was recognised nationally. His burial was in Westminster Abbey. But it's not just the slave trade that he was famous for. As many people like him, he also worked with the poor. He worked in prisons. He helped to establish schools. He did a lot for healthcare in this country, healthcare reform. He did a lot to limit the number of hours that children worked. Factories, up chimneys, and all that sort of thing. He didn't just want his Christianity to be limited to church on Sundays. He might well have gone twice every Sunday. He didn't want it just to be that. He wanted people to embrace Christianity, to embrace the faith they had, to change society. I hope that's something that we want to do too. But it's all right, it's good that we come on a Sunday to worship God. But in the week, what are we doing? What are we doing with our lives? How are we changing society? How are we transforming? How are we affecting the lives of other people we come into contact with every day? At work, at play, at school, whatever. What are we up to? What's God saying to us? What does God want us to do? How does God want us to use our... I'm just saying these things just to get you thinking, really. Where are we heading for? What do we want to achieve for God in this short life? It seems to get shorter as I get older, but it is a short life comparatively on this earth. And it's important that we use our time wisely for God. I want to serve the purpose of God in my generation today. I want to do it today while I'm alive. That's what we're going to sing. Let's stand and sing. Paul in his letter, because it was Paul that wrote the letter to Galatians, Paul in his letter spoke about all people being equal in Christ. And when we become part of the household of God, our own ethnic background, our own beliefs, our gender, our social, our economic status, it doesn't really matter to God what it is. Just recently I was at a service where the pastor taking the service took his dog collar, the white dog collar that they wear, ministers. He took that off and threw it on the floor in the middle of the service and said, "I'm the same as you in the pews," which is absolutely true, isn't it? We're all the same in God's eyes. We're all equal. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, we read. And it's often been pointed out that Paul didn't actually condemn slavery at the time. But in his defence, we've been singing in that last verse about Jesus coming again. In Paul's defence, he thought Jesus was coming in his lifetime. And so maybe he thought it wasn't that important that he did anything about slaves when he was alive. It may have demotivated him from speaking out at the time. And we do need to recognise that the Bible does not say that God supports slavery. In fact, slavery described in the Old Testament was quite different to the slavery we think about today, in which people are captured and sold as slaves. According to the Old Testament, anybody who was caught selling another person into slavery was to be killed, to be executed. That was the law. In Exodus, if we look back in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 21, it says there, "He who kidnaps a man, whether he sells him or he's found in his possession, shall surely be put to death." That was the law. In ancient Israel, people who couldn't provide for themselves or their families sent them into slavery so they wouldn't die of starvation or exposure. And in that way, they would receive food, they would be looked after, even though they were slaves. They would have a house, a roof over their head, in exchange for the labour. That was the way it was done. And in Paul's time, many of the early Christians were slaves to the Romans. They were encouraged to become free, if possible. But if it wasn't possible, don't worry about it. Still be a witness to your slave master. Accept your situation, whatever you're in. And if you're in slavery to someone else, act out your Christian faith nobly, if you like, sincerely. Serve your master as if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul instructed the slaves of the time, serve with honour so that Christianity wouldn't be frowned upon. But I'm sure that, well, everyone here today must be uncomfortable with the idea of any kind of slavery. Human trafficking. The stories we read about on TV, we read about in the papers or look at the pictures on TV. Mainly women and children being forced or tricked into slavery and prostitution. These sort of things fill us with anger. They fill me with anger and sadness. That is not the way to treat fellow human beings. Thank goodness there are still people around who are willing to find out the facts, like Wilberforce did, and try to do something about such things. Sadly, I think maybe there's not too much done. There could be more done. The spirit of Wilberforce needs to live in our lives too today. Be encouraged to play your part in this generation. Are you thinking about anything yet? What are you going to do? It doesn't have to be anything huge like Wilberforce did. But maybe you are in a place of influence, I don't know, where you can influence in a big way. But it's the small things as well that are so important. And that's what I said about when we meet people locally and in our own sphere of friends, that we can have a tremendous influence and witness in how we react, in what we say, in letting them know what we believe.